was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls the string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings as the night falls in. On a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
They claim welcome, my friends. Welcome, my friends. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer, sitting in for Tom LaCavara on Resurrect the Republic on the RBN Network. With us, Lori Anderson is going to be off tonight. With us will be Texas Lori, Tom's Lori. She'll be giving us some insight and some update on Tom. And we'll be discussing a few interesting things tonight other than Tom's case, but I do want to start off remembrance to Tom. Tom is still sitting in Wayne County, Oregon, near Eugene. Tom is an abductee. Tom has been kidnapped by agents of the federal corporation. He's being unlawfully held on a, quote, courtesy hold by Sheriff Byron Trapp of Lane County, Oregon. Tom should be here tonight. He's not. Who did Tom hurt? No one. Who was victimized by Tom's actions? No one. Can the state be a victim because Tom was in a room near a gun? Absolutely not. I want people to remember Tom tonight. And let me give out two numbers really quick so people can continue calling on Tom's behalf, and then we'll get on with the show. I want people to remember the person holding Tom unlawfully without any orders from the court, and this is why they call it a courtesy hold. Marshals go to a sheriff and say, could you please be courteous and help us kidnap this person so they can't get to Nevada and cover the Clive and Bundy trial? And that's exactly what Tom was doing when he was abducted by agents of the federal corporation, kidnapped and taken to Oregon to be held on a victimless allegation. And Sheriff Trapp's number in Lane County, Oregon, near Eugene, is 541-682-4150. Get your pencils out, folks. I'll repeat it again. The sheriff who's assisting the marshals in kidnapping Tom LaCavara. Tom is an abductee. He's not a prisoner. He's not a criminal. He's an abductee. He's been abducted. He's been kidnapped by the U.S. Marshals, agents of the federal corporation, the Federal Bureau of Idiots, and, of course, Sheriff Byron Trapp. And his number, once again, is 541-682-4150. We also want to put calls on the vicars. The vicars are the men behind the court. They're the hands-on court and legislature and bar law managers for the Vatican in your town. And in your town in Oregon, in the area where Tom's being held, the Vicar General is Peter Smith. He's a real person. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is a conspiracy with the Vatican and bankers infiltrating our government, especially the local courts, which is where the real power is. When Peter Smith's number is Vicar General, and Judicial Vicar Pat Brennan, whose judicial do you think he's vicaring? He's online. It says Judicial Vicar Patrick Brennan. And they can both be reached at 503-234-5334. Their number is 503-234-5334. And if you're sick and tired of people associated with this corporate, militarized, ecclesiastic government that we're living under, dictatorship, it's not a government, let's be honest. We're living under communist occupation. It's being managed by the vicars. It's being executed by people like Sheriff Byron Trapp, who think they can hold somebody who's been kidnapped, who's on a courtesy hold. No lawful charge against Tom. And so I encourage people to remember Tom. Before we get on with the show, I want people to make a note to make some calls on Tom's behalf this week. If you care about Tom, if you care that Tom's sitting in a cage right now, 22 out of every 24 hours, he's in solitary confinement. Why do you think they're doing that? They're not doing it because Tom's a threat to society or a threat to anybody in particular. They're doing it as torture. They're punishing him for his political beliefs. They have abducted him and have kidnapped him and are holding him unlawfully to prevent him from getting to Nevada to cover the Clive and Bundy trial. Clive and Bundy's still sitting in jail in Nevada. Remember famous patriot Clive and Bundy? Okay, for making his stand against the federal government, he's sitting there. And I encourage people to call Judge Paraguayer, Vicar General Bob Stokig, and Sheriff Lombardo in Nevada on behalf of Clive and Bundy as well. We don't want to forget about the whole pile of patriots that are being held unlawfully by the corporate government. And if Donald Trump's administration is for real, I want to see some jailhouse doors swing open and patriots start walking away free, especially since they haven't been even accused of hurting anybody. So I wanted to get that out there right from the get-go. Tom would not appreciate us taking over his show and running off in all kinds of different directions and for neglecting the main fact that one of the main patriots in the truth press, in the truth media, one of the main reporters in the freedom movement, Tom LaCavara, has been kidnapped. He's being held unlawfully. And we need to command in large numbers, put phone calls on those entities this week that I just gave Sheriff Trapp, Vicar General Pete Smith, and Judicial Vicar Patrick Brennan. I also encourage people to call Washington and put heat on Jeff Sessions, because his prosecutors in Oregon could drop this case against Tom tomorrow morning if they chose to do so. So I expect to see some results on this from the Trump administration. If it's for real and wants to claim status as being patriotic, let's see some patriots go free. Now, if Tom had hurt somebody, if he had robbed a bank or stuck a gun in someone's face, and okay, we'd have something to talk about there. Nothing of the sort. Apparently, he's being held because a woman who was in the same room that he was happened to have a gun in her purse, a visitor. So this has reached the level of absurdity, and Tom's being tortured for 22 hours in solitary. He can't even prepare for his case. How's he going to get law books when he's 22 hours on lockdown? He's in there with murderers and people who are accused of real aggressive crime. And once again, this is what happens when we go to sleep and become armchair patriots and allow our brethren to be literally kidnapped off the streets and held in a cage to prevent their political activity and their political reporting. And I guarantee Tom would have been one of the few alternative or truth media reporters at that trial. Most of these other media outlets that claim to be in the truth and the new media and the freedom media, they're nothing of the sort. They report stories that come over the air, and they're all stories. Here's, how about this story? Hey, let's cover that story. We're going to cover stories tonight? No, we're not going to cover stories tonight on Resurrect Republic. We're going to do activism. We don't cover stories. We don't report on stuff that came through the ethers that was put there as disinformation to take us somewhere else than where we should be. We don't report stories. We do activism. So phone blitz for Tom LaCavara this week. And Lori, do you want to make some comments on Tom's update before we go on with the show?
Sure. I want to correct one thing. The gun was in the bathroom, not in somebody's purse. I want to correct that just to make sure everybody knows that we got that fact. That was a rumor going out there. Also, we want to call Deacon Welsh, who has been assigned to our case. His number is 503-234-5334. He was out of his office today, so hopefully he was down in Eugene taking care of business. I do not know. So we need to see what's going on with that. I will make another call tomorrow. Tom did tell me on February 9th he's scheduled to be released to the full population, but that's February 9th. He's still in 22-hour lockdown until then. As far as he's doing good, as well as can expected, it's getting to him that he's in solitary. But it is what it is. We've got to fight this. So that's the main part.
That's kind of good news. Yeah, that means the phone calls are helping people. So don't be discouraged that when you call and someone says, okay, yeah, we'll work on it, or we'll get back, I'll have the sheriff get back to you, or blah, 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 and it sounds like you didn't get anywhere. That's not true at all. You got somewhere. You got through to somebody. You made your voice known. That goes on the list of hopefully hundreds. And I know in the past we've gotten feedback from sheriffs, the high sheriff, one case in Utah, where he said he was getting hundreds of calls on a case that we did for a phone blitz for someone just like Tom, who had a minor statutory in his past. They set him up on a gun charge by taking a few shots at the shooting range and then arrested him. U.S. Marshals, FBI, solitary confinement, put him in general population on Friday, and don't allow him any visitors. That means they're going to have him killed in jail. And this was the case we started off with a couple years ago. It's what kind of the first case that we really got. We really started pointing the finger at the vicar generals and saying, we want to know, Judge, what your relationship is with the vicar general. And that just that question shines enough light on the rats in the vicar's office that they're gonna start scurrying around, and usually the jailhouse doors will swing open if there's enough public pressure. And I think that's good news that he's going to be released from solitary confinement, because that is torture, and they will be held accountable for what they've done to Tom. This isn't just going to go away. They better let him out. And the second thing is, we have a special, I don't know, I'm just, for lack of a better word, a special envoy to Tom's case, Mr. Walsh, can also be reached at that same number where the vicars. But we also still want to call the vicars, because Mr. Walsh works for the vicar general. If we give up putting heat on the vicars, see, they're hoping they're just going to, here, you take this. Take all these people from the courtroom observers and make them go away. Don't go away. We got to hold the Archbishop, Alexander Sample, who runs the vicar general, Peter Smith, and the judicial vicar, Patrick Brennan, and Mr. Deacon Walsh, now the new person who's specifically been assigned to Tom's case, and that also is an indicator that the phone calls are working. Lori?
Also, tomorrow is Ryan Bundy's case. We need to say our prayers, do what we can do, and make all the calls we can for him. See if they can't get Ryan Bundy released from, at least on his bail or whatever they want to call it. That's the hearing he has tomorrow. So that's Ryan Bundy's case is tomorrow. I hope to hear back from the guys that are working on that. If not tomorrow, Wednesday, I'll be able to hear from them. But they're going to be quite busy tomorrow.
Is that a Nevada case or an Oregon case? Yeah, okay.
That is a Nevada case.
See what happened, folks. Yeah, see what happened. So the listeners are clear on this. Basically, because of all the public outrage and the phone calls and the habeas corpus blitz, and our habeas corpuses have penalty in there, if they don't let the person out, they're on the clock for a silver dollar per second while this trespass occurs. Because of that, mostly because of public pressure, most of the federal charges in Oregon were dropped against Pete Santilli, against the Bundys. They walked away on a jury nullification. But now the state of Nevada is scooping everybody up and trying to get them on state charges, because the vicars and the corporate government just doesn't want to let it go. They can't stand the patriots and the truth people and God's creatures and God's children having a quote-unquote victory. And these victories are well-deserved. We're on the side of truth and righteousness and justice. The corporate government's just a bunch of pigs running around making stuff up and saying, oh, this is law now. State police, you go enforce. Cut your mother's throat from ear to ear. Steal that person's house. They didn't pay us rent, even though they own their house, in a country that was founded on private property rights and a tax revolution. And the state police and the federal goons will do, they're so immoral, they'll do anything they're ordered to do. They'll literally kill, they won't kill their own mother, but they'll kill somebody else's mother if they were ordered to do it. It's gone that far. They kidnapped Tom LaGuevara and were perfectly comfortable with torturing him for 22 hours a day, which looks like that may come to an end. Oh, wow, great. At least he gets to go into general population. I mean, that's a minor victory. I wouldn't call it much, because they should be letting him out. And the only reason they're not is because we haven't really buried them in enough phone calls yet. Keep it up, people. Keep the phone calls going. If you have a quote-unquote legitimate purpose, you can call any public entity every single day. And don't let them give you any crap about, yeah, stop calling here. We already talked. Hey, too bad. You haven't responded by letting this guy who you kidnapped go free. You're lucky we don't come there with pitchforks and shotguns. Really lucky. And kudos to all the patriots who have kept their cool through all this tyranny And I know it's maddening, and it's tempting to take off and just go ape shit. Excuse my language. Sorry, John. But you know what I'm saying. Very much kudos. With the millions of tens of millions of patriots in this country and hundreds of thousands of patriots being unlawfully incarcerated and having their property stolen and all a whole bunch of other atrocities, electronic interference, targeting, blacklisted so you can't get work. I could go down. People being denied electricity, water, shelter, you name it, and the list, and the patriot persecution goes on. So I expect that's another thing I expect to see end with this new administration. Happy days are here again. We got a patriotic administration. Let's let some patriots walk away, patriots who are only accused of violating the state orders to obey. Is that what we've come to? Tom didn't obey the government's edicts on him. So he didn't do anything. He's just strictly failing to obey a bunch of toilet paper made up in Albany, New York, and Washington, D.C. So, with that note, Lori, is there anything else you want to add to Tom's situation? And then I wanted to see if Keith's with us, and then we can get into some interesting history. I think a little bit of a history lesson tonight people might be into. Look, we can report all the stories that are going around, all the alternative media shows and blah, 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 and you know who appointed who today and who said what today about whom. And look, that those are old. I think we can really learn something by looking back in history, because those who do not know history are doomed to repeat it. So, Lori, do you have anything else to add on Tom before we move into the show?
That's pretty much it for tonight. Thank you.
Great, great. Hey, is Keith with us yet? Do we have Keith? Anybody? Keith, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, Keith, how's it going in the heartland? This is Keith Jones, folks. I really like Keith. Keith's a brilliant man. Keith's an old farm boy from Iowa country. Keith now lives in the heartland of Kansas. Keith pays attention to history, common law, world politics, international financial situations. I understand Donald Trump, through the grapevine, has exchanged his foreign currency, but yet patriots who hold foreign currency and who are desperate to access their money are not being allowed to yet. And that yet better become really short period of time, because it is really ungodly for the president to say, oh, I can go exchange my foreign currency and get all kinds of U.S. dollars, but the poor patriots cannot. We're going to be left hang out here to dry. So anyway, Keith is also one of the leading scholars on the self-governing county. Want to get rid of the bitching and talk about solutions? The self-governing county. You got 2,500 acres, which is 4 square miles. You draft your charter, and you put up the peace flag. You elect a constitutional sheriff. You file your charter with the Secretary of State. You got your own county. And everybody in that county should be armed and should be part of the sheriff's posse and should be on the same page with freedom. So we appreciate Keith's insight. Keith, give us a few comments on anything you might have seen out there that you wish to comment on. I know you had some thoughts on appointees and other things. So just go ahead. Give us some time on what's on your mind.
Well, let's start with the fact. Let's go back to the thing with Tom. Something I've been pondering through my mind. I did a little research also. Is the only reason they've got Tom on a courtesy hold with the sheriff is because that way they keep their fingers dirty or clean. Okay, both U.S. Marshals and the FBI both have their own jails in both Eugene as well as in Portland. Now explain to me why Tom's being held in where he's at in a normal jail.
Right, push the liability off on the sheriff. Yeah, have somebody else be liable for your criminal kidnapping. Yes, excellent point.
Okay, and the other thing with this, I wanted to make point understand that when they had the Bundy case up in Oregon, if you study it, and you've talked about this before a little bit, is the bonds that they have that they take for us, and they make all this money behind the scenes that we don't know about. Okay, well, that was such a high-profile trial. They're making hundreds of thousands of dollars off those bonds because they would double and triple because of the value, because of how high profile was. Okay?
It's in the millions. Yeah, it's way more than that. It's in the millions. Listeners, what Keith is talking about is called a performance and payment bond that's taken out on every court case. So the longer they can do what is called protracting, and that's an inside term, they call it protracting. The longer they can protract and prolong and drag a case out, the more money they make in interest on the case that they've bonded. Then they take the bonds and bundle them with a bunch of other cases and sell it to the Chinese, sell it to Wall Street, sell it to the Rothschild, sell it to Goldman Sachs, sell it to the brokerage firm, whoever wants to buy it. So every person in this case, in this country, is a collateralized piece of money that the money grubbers look to incarcerate so they can sell our case. It's real simple. And that's on top of the individual, what's called CESPU trust, that initiates from your birth certificate when you're born, which makes everyone listening to this show worth somewhere between $10 and $50 million. It's the Vickers and the Vatican that manage those trusts. But then on top of that, like he said, every individual case, even traffic court cases, especially them because there's lots of them, they're bonded and in what's called a bid bond, a performance bond, and a payment bond. And if you have to go up in front of the witches court people, I encourage you, one of the first things that you say is, may I see the performance and payment bond regarding this matter and the tax forms that you filed along with it, because you know they didn't claim it. So anyway, continue, Keith. I just wanted to clear that up for the listeners.
That's fine. So what happened was, if you filed a case, if the judge was not going to allow a lot of the evidence into court, they wouldn't let hardly any of the witnesses be allowed to speak, nothing. But they lost the deal when the jury nullification happened, and the jury asked, now the only thing they could do is let the people they requested in was both the attorney and Bundy himself in. So at that point in time, they were able to submit all this evidence that the court would not allow in. Okay, first thing. Second thing is, if you studied it, watched it, under law, when the both prosecution and defense make their closing arguments, they're allowed to bring anything extra in that the court would not allow in as evidence.
Okay. If they're honest, if they're honest and they're really looking out for the client and looking out for the accused, yeah, that's what they should and will do. It's some, often they don't. The lawyer in the Shane Bennett case threw that case right into the hands of the DA and the judge, sent Shane off for a couple years to prison, and was out golfing with the district attorney and the judge the very next week.
Yeah. But in the Bundy case, so the attorney took an added all the evidence that the court would not allow in any closed arguments. And then the judge is sitting there saying, I object. And they can object all they want to. They can do any good. Because he still has it right to make and do what has been is in his closing arguments. Okay? And this is bottom line, what I was trying to get to is the idea, we've got to learn how to use the laws that they have set down. And for years and years, and use these laws against us. We have to learn how to use those laws against them.
Absolutely. And a classic example of that is the recent recusal of Judge James Ames in Andover, New York, who we discovered through a matter of a code enforcement officer hassling a gentleman who had a small scrap metal business on his lot out in the country. The guy even had the permit from the county to have the scrap metal business on his lot. But the town wasn't honoring the county permit and was coming after him anyway. So we went down to the county clerk and we said, hi, excuse me, do you have a copy of the oath and bond for James Ames operating as a judge in Andover? And it turned out his oath and bond had expired in 2013. He had been operating as a private individual, pretending to be a judge for 3 years. Because in New York, we have what's called the public officer's law. And I suggest people listening to this show check in your state. You either have a public officer's law or a civil servant's law. And it may say in there, just like in New York, that all public officers must file an oath and bond with the county clerk within 30 days of the beginning of their term. And if they do not do that, their position is vacant. So anyway, we had a judge have to recuse himself because he was breaking New York's own codes, rules, and regulations, our public officer's law. So Keith's right. You can often get them on their own nuts and bolts, so to speak, if you just open up and look into what's required. On a traffic ticket, there's in New York, Section 150.10 and Section 120.5, I believe it is, both say all traffic tickets issued out hunting by the DEC, and parks, anything you get in a park, all tickets must have a notice of supporting deposition, which means there has to be a second, a supporting deposition means a second affidavit from somebody swearing that you have done some kind of unlawful activity. And almost always it's one cop against one person. It's one-on-one. And if there's a requirement for a supporting deposition on the little yellow ticket that you get from a single cop, that ticket's null and void, because if he can't provide a supporting deposition, then that's nullified. There has to be a notice of supporting deposition written on the ticket, and then a support, and then you need to request a supporting deposition, and you won't get one, because like I said, it's usually one-on-one. That's something you can get them on. That's their own rules and regulations. They're almost always in violation of. And so, yeah, Keith's right. You can get them on their own stuff if you look into it. You don't even have to go into the natural man and the common law, you know, which I do recommend people stand on, but unfortunately many courts won't hear you when you say that. And they literally have been told, you don't hear the person who's representing pro se. You only hear them if they have a mouthpiece, which is an attorney. And that's the way the judges are trained to look at you as the accused. And whenever you're going to the court, you're going to be charged with something. That's a fee. You're not being accused. You notice how they've captured the language, and everybody assumes, wow, if I'm charged with something, I'm being accused. No, you're not. You're being charged. They're taxing you. An accusation is totally different. And there almost never is any accusation, because there never is any real crime to be accused for. Once again, Tom LaCavara, who was he hurting by being in a room that had a gun in the bathroom? I mean, that's absurd. That is not possession. So anyway, Keith, back to you. Anything else you want to share with us? We've got a couple more minutes before the bottom of the hour, and then we're going to get into some interesting history regarding George Washington and some of his, let's just say, associates that have questionable pasts. Keith?
Well, I'm just going to end the deal with the comment that let's talk about the traffic court for just a moment, okay, during the break. Is that if you're going into a criminal court, folks, their law says that you have to have an injured body person, a person, living, breathing, blood, okay, or it has to be moved to civil court. And most people don't know this and don't realize this, okay, first thing. Second thing is, when you do that, you have the right to ask it, since there's no living person that was injured. You move to civil court, and you move to civil court, and the only person by law that can hear that ticket or hear that case is the Secretary of the Department of Transportation. Now, you tell me when he's going to have time to come and hear your case.
Yeah.
Okay. And the last thing with this idea is, again, you got to understand that both the, you want to take and upset these guys, as you brought up a little bit ago, again, the bonds and everything, is to go to the judge and to the district attorney, because they are public officers, okay?
Keith, hold
you
that
have a right.
For a
you want to be real thing, just a second, I'll be done, is to go back and say, I want to see 7 years' worth of your tax reform. Go ahead, Eric.
Touche. Yes, we'll be right back after the bottom of the hour. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer with Keith Jones on Resurrect the Republic, being broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay with us.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Would odors, mold, and mildew describe your basement or crawl space? It doesn't have to be that way. Transform them into a fresh, healthy, usable one with the technologically advanced Wave Moisture Control Units. The computerized operation maximizes moisture control and also expels harmful radon, combustion gases, and numerous other pollutants. Dehumidifiers are old technology that do nothing for air quality and waste energy. Wave units are intelligent, self-monitoring, do not need maintenance, and will save you hundreds in electricity. Wave units are still running effectively over 15 years. They've been tested and installed in public and military housing and by property managers nationwide. Buy a unit now, and if your home is not fresher and drier, you can return it for a full refund for up to 12 months. What have you got to lose? Call now. 1-888-618-WAVE. 1-888-618-WAVE. Or visit MyDryHome.com. That's MyDryHome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Mother of the moon, which built my sails, crossed the sea of years.
Welcome back. Back, my friends. Welcome back. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer sitting in for Tom on Resurrect the Republic. I'm with Keith Jones. And we have a few things to discuss tonight, but before we get there, I just wanted to do a quick matter of business here. Please support this network by buying from the sponsors. Also keep in mind that the hosts that you hear, such as myself, Tom, everyone else, we do not get paid for this. We don't get money from the station, and we don't get money from the commercial sponsors. We're on our own. We need to solicit for our own donations. So if you value what you hear during this event, I hate to call it a show or a program. I don't like to call it a program because that indicates programming, and we don't try to do that. We just try to bring out the truth and let you program yourself. And if it's a show, you know, I think it's an event. I think you're going to learn something tonight. You're going to be able to do something tonight. You can walk away. You can make some phone calls on behalf of Tom tomorrow and talk to a real vicar general by calling the vicar general's office in Oregon, the number we gave out, 503-234-5334. Why are you holding Tom? Release the living man. He hasn't hurt anyone, and there's no allegation of such. Let him go immediately. I command you. Do godly work, Mr. Vicar. You're claiming to be a man of God. Do some godly work and facilitate the release of the kidnapping victim known as Thomas LaGuevara. So, and you're not going to hear about this on any of the other events or radio shows. I guarantee that. Everyone's too scared to talk about the vicars. The vicars and the bishops. That's where the power lays. They control the bar controls the judges, and the courts are where the power sits. They end up making law in the end, and don't forget all those legislators that pass the laws that the courts enforce, They're all attorneys, members of the bar, same club. Same. Okay, so please, support Tom by going to resurrecttherepublic.com. There's a click PayPal with Tom's Gmail and email address, resurrecttherepublic.com. If you want to follow what Eric does and support the courtroom observers, go to courtroomwatch.org. That's courtroomwatch.org. And the only way we can keep updated and keep new posts and get into cases, we get in deep into cases. We don't just do superficial. We've got habeas corpuses up on courtroomwatch.org where you can learn how to do a world-class habeas corpus. Just use the template that's up there. Just change the name. And if you're ever incarcerated, you're going to want to know how to do a habeas corpus. It's real simple. It's short enough where you can memorize it. I've got it pretty much memorized. So it, and it's not, and we're not talking a long document. We're talking one pager. You want to get involved and do something solution-oriented? You want to make a difference in your community? What could you do for freedom tomorrow or sometime this week based on your work schedule that would really make a difference and it would step outside all the reporting and all the talking and complaining and blah, blah, blah? What could you really do? Okay, you can go to courtroomwatch.org and download the jury nullification flyer. One-pager, easy read. It says it all. Print out 100 copies and go down to your courthouse and pass them out the morning of jury selection. They'll have it usually once a week, sometimes twice a week. Whenever it is, just call. Hey, when's jury selection at the courthouse? So that's Tuesday or Thursday, whenever. You go down there at 8:30 in the morning, give everybody a flyer. You've just done a world of good in your own community because that word's going to spread like what? And when you have to go up in front of the witch's court, there may very well be someone in your jury pool who either knew of or heard of or saw the Facebook posting or got the word from their buddy about jury nullification, and it may save your ass in a pinch. Excuse my language. So anyway, so there's the plea. ResurrectTheRepublic.com, CourtroomWatch.org. Without funding, we go bye-bye. There's no way we can survive and stay alive and bring you interesting stuff every night, which we try to do, that transcends just reporting. What goes into activism and solutions. Solution, print out the jury nullification flyer. Solution, self-governing county. He's going to open that up heavy duty one of these nights. Tonight, I thought people would be interested. And Keith, I'm going to talk about one of George Washington's associates tonight. And I was looking for a word before we... go ahead, Keith, make a couple of comments while I get my, you know what, together. Go ahead.
First thing I want to have everyone understand, Washington was elected as a president. But if you go back and study, you'll actually find out he wanted to be actually king of this country. Now, if you also study it back, that also goes right along with the fact that the British have had their hand in this country from get-go. Okay? We've never been out of this country, or this country's never been free of British rule. Somehow, some way, somehow. And this is where we keep going back to self-governing. We've got to break free from the people, the corporation that held us in bondage. Okay? So,
yeah, and boy, is it interesting you brought that up. Keith and I did not chat about what we were going to do tonight. I just had this plan, and we talked about other stuff earlier, financial and world politics and what's in the news. We did not talk about what I was going to discuss tonight. And so what Keith just mentioned is exactly in sync with what I'm about to get into, which is this country's really never been free of British rule. I wish it was. I'm not saying that everybody involved in the founding, you know, there were very well-intentioned, brilliant, and some very good Christ-loving people in there who were working for freedom. But the most of the players at the very top of the food chain, so to speak, were not. And as I was paging through my American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language. Boy, it doesn't sound too exciting just paging through the dictionary, does it? Well, let me tell you, I've learned quite a few things from just looking up, getting on top of what words actually really mean. And as close to accurate and truthful as we got, I would say this American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language is about the best I've found so far. So as I'm paging through the dictionary, I noticed Clinton was at the top of the page there with a capital C. So my first instinct was, wow, Bill and Hillary made the dictionary. Well, as I looked down, there was no Bill and there was no Hillary.
But there were some very interesting Clintons associated with the founding of this nation, intimately. So, and I'm going to take this kind of slow tonight, folks, so just stay with me here. So I see Clinton with a capital C. And then I see, I'll read it as I see it in the dictionary, and then I'll pull out the two out of the four or five that I really want to talk about. So I see Clinton, and I'm looking for Bill and Hillary, figuring that's who the Clintons would be. And I see Clinton, DeWitt. Okay, first name DeWitt. Last name Clinton, first name DeWitt. Capital D, small e, and then capital W-I-T-T. DeWitt Clinton, 1769 to 1828. So right there, I'm like, oh, okay, founding father type era. Here we are. 1769, he was born. He died in 1828. the definition is American political leader, twice governor of New York State, mm-hmm. son of James Clinton. Okay, so I get a little farther. Next one, next Clinton. Clinton, George, one. And the one is a little teeny one up next to the George. It's not like George the First with a giant Roman numeral that says number one. This is indicating that there's going to be a second George Clinton with the same name. So I see George Clinton, and I'm not talking about the King of Funk out in Los Angeles. George Clinton, the number, the first definition of the first George Clinton, and he was approximately 1686 to 1761. So I'm like, all right, wow, that's right up there, up to the Revolutionary War. Okay, here we go. Now, who is he? George Clinton, the first George Clinton. British admiral and colonial administrator, governor of New York from 1743 to 1753. Okay, so he's a British admiral. He's a colonial administrator. That means he was one of the most monstrous tyrants and thugs. He was the one hanging people, having the preacher murdered for not taking a permit to preach. Back in the colonial days, you used to have to get a permit, just like you do have to do today to go hunt or go fish or go drive a motorcycle or a car or get this or do that or have a business. You got to get the permit. They used to kill people. Same thing back then. Same as now. And one famous case of a preacher who got killed by the British for refusing to get the permit to preach the Word of God. Okay, this is the guy in charge of all that. British admiral, colonial administrator, governor of New York, not New York the state, New York the colony, from 1743 to 1753. This was the king jackboot on the throat of the American colonists. This is the guy whose thuggery and tyranny led to the revolution. We got him pretty much figured out, right? He's George Clinton. George Clinton number two. Dun, 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 dun. 1739 to 1812. That's really close to this other George Clinton. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. The one is 16, the first George Clinton is roughly 1686 to 1761. And this one is 1739 to 1812. There's a huge overlap there. They were both alive at the same time for like 40 years. From 1739 to 1761. Just up until the time of the revolution. That supposed revolution that we supposedly had to supposedly win us our freedom. Okay, so George Clinton number two. Who's he, Eric, the freedom screamer? George Clinton number two. Now get this. Now tell me if your bells don't go off and your antennas don't go up and you hear this one. 1739 to 1812. So he was a little bit younger than the other George Clinton, the British admiral, colonial administrator, governor of New York before it became a state, before the Revolutionary War. Okay. Vice President of the United States under Thomas Jefferson and James Madison, 1805 to 1812, the first governor of New York State, brother of James Clinton. Okay, so let me stop right there. Now, what are the odds, what are the chances that the governor of New York, the colony, before the supposedly Revolutionary War that we supposedly fought to supposedly win us our supposed freedom. What are the chances that the governor of New York, the colony, would have the same name as the governor of New York, the state, after the revolution, after that we supposedly fought for our supposed freedom? Same, they're both named George Clinton. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Because we had a guy named George Clinton who was a British admiral and was governor of New York, the colony, under absolute Nazi Gestapo rule called the British Crown. And we have another guy named George Clinton who just happened to conveniently be the governor of, also the governor of New York, after the revolution when it became a state. Same effing name, George Clinton. I'm like, wait a minute. They got to be related. So I went on the Let's Find Out If They're Related binge. And I called the Rundell Library in Rochester, New York, and I talked to the head historic research librarian at the Rundell Library, and she assured me that after she called the Sons of the American Revolution and one or two other sources, which she would not name, that they were not related. No, sorry, Eric. No, it turns out they're not. And after hanging up the phone with her a little dejected, I'm like, oh, man. I'm like, wait a minute. Number one, common sense tells you that these guys are related. Number two, how many times have I been lied to by one of the, somebody in the system who wants me to believe something along with the rest of the nation so we believe that we actually had a revolution which we supposedly fought for our supposed freedom? Okay. So I kept looking, and don't I find another librarian who was actually honest, a younger guy, and he said, oh, yeah, I got a book right here. It's called Master Builder of the Empire State by John Lee, printed in 2010 by Syracuse University Press, and it says the younger George Clinton got his start from his older cousin, Admiral Clinton, as a law clerk in Ulster County, New York. Just reinforcing what I always see, which is the clerk, the law clerk, and the court clerk and the county clerk are always the gatekeeper. They're the title holder to your property. They're the ones who allow you to file your certificate of live birth with the county or not. They're always the gatekeeper. They're the real power. The judge is kind of a figurehead that gets steered around like the Pope or the Queen. The real power is behind the scenes in these Masonic orders. And my contention is, my common sense intuition that these two George Clintons, one of them a British admiral that was a colonial administrator, abusing the colonists so harshly and so bad, burning farms to the ground, seizing guns and weapons, taking people's money, stationing his troops in their own private homes. I mean, please, what led to the revolution? And then someone with the same name comes in right after him and becomes the governor of New York, the state, after our supposed revolution for our supposed freedom. They got to be related. It turns out they are. The younger George Clinton was given his start by the British admiral. So older George Clinton gives his young little Mason nephew there a start. And little Mr. George Clinton, number two, works his way up through the ranks to become Vice President of the United States twice under Jefferson and Madison. Oh, and by the way, he also became the governor of New York. So we had a George Clinton who was governor of New York, the colony, and we have a George Clinton who was governor of New York, the state, after we supposedly got our supposed freedom in the supposedly Revolutionary War. BS. It was all a scam. It was one bunch of Masons on one side of the Atlantic fighting with a bunch of Masons on the other side of the Atlantic. And it's there when you get into a singular cult that runs both sides, which is what all the intelligence agencies do, the Hegelian dialectic, fund both sides, create ISIS, create the American military and the Mossad to fight it. Then you always got a war, you can suck money, and you can always have control people through the fear of that enemy that doesn't really exist. Almost every one of these ISIS incidents are mercenaries that are hired by the intelligence agencies. Just look at the protesters in D.C. for the Trump inaugural rally. They're only getting $2,500 to protest. It was reported they all had handlers. Whenever an alternative media reporter would go over, mysterious handler would come over and scurry them away. It's a giant setup. What you're seeing is very little. The only real activism you're going to see is here and a few other places. So I highly urge you people to support this show. You're not going to learn anywhere else that you had the exact person with the exact same name from the exact same British Royal Admiralty family, the Clinton family. Geez, well, Clinton, geez, that name sounds familiar, doesn't it? Oh, by the way, George Clinton the Older, the British Admiral, he had a sister who married Admiral Robert Rodham. That name ring a bell? Okay, Hillary Rodham Clinton. Right, you got it with the name game now? This is what they do. So this family's been around, and lineage connection or not, between the modern Clintons and the older Clintons, I mean, you can make the case. I believe it was a younger teenager who drew the family tree back to pretty much where, you know, everybody was related. Kerry was related to Bush, and Cheney was related to, you know, Obama's mother. All this, it was bizarre how deep these bloodlines go. So I thought that was fascinating that we had a George Clinton. Okay, now let me go on to tell you one more piece of the story here. Get this. George Clinton, the second one, the one who was also best friends with George Washington. They were like intimate, like extremely close confidants of one another. Clinton was with Washington on many of his campaigns. How else do you think he went on to be the vice president under Jefferson and Madison? I've gotten other reports and other historical contexts about George Washington and George Clinton the Younger being very, very close with one another and extremely tight, like best buddies. So George Clinton the Younger gives birth to a son. And so this is kind of the second to third round of Clintons. You have the George Clinton the Older Admiral, who passed the baton and the tyranny along, infiltrated the revolution, befriended George Washington, got his start as a law clerk in Ulster County, New York, went on to be vice president under Jefferson and Madison. So he's in now. And then he gives birth to a son named... Okay, let's see. George Clinton's... Okay, DeWitt Clinton. I got to go back the page because DeWitt was first. He came... DeWitt Clinton... Oh, okay. George Clinton had a brother. Here we go. Let me just read it in context in the dictionary. The next Clinton after George II, the younger, is Sir Henry Clinton, 1738 to 1795, British general, commander-in-chief of the British forces in the Revolutionary War, son of Admiral George Clinton. So... Admiral George Clinton's son, the tyrant, the thug dictator, who was the uncle of George Clinton the Younger, who was George Washington's best friend, he had a son named Sir Henry. So Sir Henry Clinton was the son of the Admiral George Clinton. He was the commander of all the British forces in the Revolutionary War, and the final Clinton is James Clinton, American Army officer, Brigadier General in the Revolutionary War, father of DeWitt Clinton, brother of Vice President George Clinton. So George Clinton the Younger, the Vice President, had a brother named James Clinton. James Clinton you had Clintons working both sides. You had Admiral George and Sir Henry working the British side. You had George the Younger, James Clinton, Brigadier General in the Revolutionary War, brother of George Clinton, the Vice President, and he gave birth to DeWitt Clinton, who became Governor of New York twice. So George Clinton, the Younger's nephew, DeWitt Clinton, took over the governorship from him. So Admiral George Clinton, the pre-Revolutionary War Governor of New York, the younger George Clinton, who went on to be vice president under Jefferson, the next governor of New York after the Revolutionary War, and then his nephew, his brother's son, DeWitt Clinton, was governor of New York twice. So it took us from, let me see if I can total up these years so people can see how long. So we had a Clinton as governor of New York before the Revolutionary War. This is George the Admiral. In 1743, his younger nephew became the first governor of New York State, vice president under Jefferson Madison. He was he held the governorship until the next Clinton came in to take it over, DeWitt Clinton, who was governor of New York twice. So let's say if they're 8-year terms, then it's 1643. Well, let's put it this way, and the time that is for almost 100 years, from 1743 to about, 1830 or so, you had the same Clinton family as governors of New York. Half of them, two of them, two out of the five, working, one of them a British admiral, the other chief of all the British forces in the Revolutionary War, and then the other three Clintons, one of them governors of New York and or vice presidents of the United States under two administrations, Jefferson and Madison. So I hope I made that as clear as I could for people. You got five Clintons, half the family was, the entire family is related, okay? Half of them are playing the British side, George the Older, and Sir Henry. George the Older was the British admiral. Sir Henry was the British general, commander-in-chief of the British forces. And then you had the younger George Clinton, who got the start from his British admiral, his uncle, take over the governorship, right, directly. So you had a British George Clinton being governor before of New York before the Revolution. You had a supposedly American George Clinton being governor of New York State right after the Revolution, and then his nephew DeWitt taking it right over from him for two more terms as governor of New York. So once again, from 1740 to 1830, you had one family, the Clintons, half of them British, I mean, all of them related, but half playing the British, half infiltrating the American supposed revolution that we supposedly fought for our supposed freedom. How do you like them apples, folks? And that's right out of the dictionary. I mean, argue with me on it. Call me, tell me I'm nuts. Tell me I'm a conspiracy theorist. I didn't dream this up. I was paging through my dictionary like a dork, and I found Clinton, and I investigated to find out that they are related. It's the same family. You had the same Clintons running the America Revolution and the state of New York before the Revolution as the ones that ran the American government and the United States of America, I guess. I mean, it's all a sham. And the state of New York after the Revolution, when New York went from a colony to a state. So look it up, folks. The governor of New York, the colony, was named George Clinton. The governor of the first state when New York became a free state, yay, we won the Revolution, was from the same family and actually had the same name, George Clinton. Oh, and then when he was done being the governor of New York, he went off to be vice president under Jefferson and Madison, and his nephew, DeWitt Clinton, took over the reins and ran with the governorship of New York State for two terms, taking us almost to the mid-1800s. There it is. So don't tell me this American Revolution was for real, being that 19 out of the 20 points of the Communist Manifesto are already in place, and we haven't even been up and running, what, for 250 years, this republic, the supposed republic that we supposedly won in the supposed revolution that we supposedly fought for our supposed freedom. Sorry to burst your bubble, y'all, but the truth will set you free, and I hear the music, so it looks like we have a break coming up. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer. We'll have more on the other side of the top of the hour with Resurrect the Republic on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay with us.
I'm not interested in photo ops.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.